After the Penn State child abuse scandal rocked Pennsylvania, the state tried to strengthen its child protection laws. But Spotlight PA reporter Angela Columbus discovered that one of those laws isn't being enforced, and that leaves kids vulnerable. I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. So, Angela, how do the laws we're talking about today get on the books in Pennsylvania?
They were part of a wave of reforms that happened after the Penn State child sexual abuse scandal, which is arguably one of the biggest stories of the last decade here in Pennsylvania.
The other major story this evening, the verdict in the Jerry Sandusky trial. And this evening, Sandusky is behind bars after that resounding verdict on 45 of 48 counts guilty of sexually abusing 10 boys.
Former Penn State coach Jerry Sandusky has been sentenced to prison for the rest of his life.
A timeline of failure that allowed the abuser to preserve an image while seeking out more victims.
And what the case really involved was Sandusky using his affiliation with Penn State to groom these boys, take them on overnight trips, and in the process, sexually abuse them. And he also had launched his own nonprofit that worked with disadvantaged youth. And what we saw in the course of the prosecution and the charges is that he essentially used that to target children who were in vulnerable positions, often didn't have fathers in their lives, and became one of those father figures to them, and in the end abused their trust and abused their bodies.
The Sandusky case helped us really crystallize what a grooming process looks like. We so often think of people who sexually assault children as like some dark, evil person who's like lurking in the shadows in a trench coat.
I talked to Kathy Palm. She's the founder of the Center for Children's Justice, and she says the Jerry Sandusky and the Penn State case really drew laser-like attention to the issue of child sexual abuse and the laws in Pennsylvania surrounding its prevention and detection.
Clearly, until his arrest, people were really not confronting the fact that he had manipulated a charity where everyone thought he was doing good for youth. To actually use that as a place to prey upon children.
So how did the state respond?
There was a lot of hand-wringing in the state legislature. There was a rush to look at what the laws were on the books and what the legislature could do to improve them. And what we saw in 2013 and 2014, and to a lesser extent in 2015, was a slew of bills that looked at everything from what is the definition of child abuse? How do we strengthen mandated reporting of child abuse? And the other piece was the clearances piece. How do we ensure that the people who are coming into contact with children don't have either criminal convictions or founded complaints of prior abuse?
So how did they do that? What specifically do the new laws say?
So the new laws require any volunteer with any type of organization that offers programming for children to obtain three types of clearances. The first one is a state police criminal background check. The second one is a child abuse clearance through the State Department of Human Services. And the third one is an FBI background check, although if you have been a Pennsylvania resident for 10 years, you don't have to get that.
It's hard to imagine, Angela, that people working with kids didn't have to do this already.
It sure is. Prior to the law taking effect in 2015, there were background checks, but they were largely reserved for people whose employment required them and brought them into contact with children. Mm. So, for instance, teachers would be a very good example. But post-2015, that requirement essentially got extended to anybody who volunteers or comes into contact with children.
So Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boy Scouts, Little League coaches.
Volunteers with organizations like athletic programs or after-school clubs or church youth groups. There are thousands of these types of groups all across Pennsylvania.
So how big of a deal was this at the time?
It was viewed as really important and really sort of monumental changes in bringing Pennsylvania's child abuse laws up to date, making the laws stronger, if not some of the strongest in the country. And really, lawmakers felt that this was a pivotal, monumental moment in the history of Pennsylvania in protecting children. But as our reporting recently revealed, some of these laws, and in particular the background check law, had its limitations.
When we come back,
we checked and we found that since the law went into place in 2015, not a single person has been prosecuted for this type of crime.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall, speaking with Spotlight PA reporter Angela Columbus. So, Angela, you said that, you know, these stronger background checks and laws strengthen child protection in Pennsylvania, but you also said that there were some cracks in these laws. How so?
One word, enforcement. There is nobody that oversees whether these nonprofit groups or private groups that aren't licensed by the state but that offer all kinds of programming for kids, whether these groups are actually following through with the law and making sure that all of their employees and volunteers have clearances. We filed a series of public records requests through which we found that there were complaints coming into the Department of Human Services from all across Pennsylvania. There was a sports program in Philadelphia, summer camps for kids who are in foster care in Allegheny County. But some of the most egregious examples in our reporting came out of this specific Boy Scout troop in York County in central Pennsylvania, where it was discovered that there were background check information missing for six different Boy Scout volunteers, and they weren't on file with the organization that oversees that troop, which is called the New Birth of Freedom Council.
My name is Ron Gardner. I'm the Scout Executive of the New Birth of Freedom Council. One of our troops did assert that some of their adult leader applications were misplaced by the council. We did look into it. We were unable to confirm that happened, and if so, how it happened.
And what we found is that in at least one instance, there was a scout leader who went on an overnight trip with children, with the Boy Scouts, without having the proper clearances on file.
You know, he didn't renew one of the three required PA clearances in a timely manner before he participated in a scouting activity. We did email him a month prior to that clearance's expiration to remind him about that, and then he took care of getting that updated shortly thereafter.
How was that discovered? How was the lack of any clearances on file discovered?
It seems that some parents noticed discrepancies in paperwork, according to emails that we obtained for our story, and that those parents started writing leaders at the New Birth of Freedom Council that oversees the troop. In some cases, it seems the applications were lost, and in some cases, there was just no record of them at all, and they weren't really getting the types of responses that they wanted to hear.
It sounds like the New Birth of Freedom Council is having a little bit of trouble keeping track of their records.
Yes, it does. I mean, they are a big organization. They oversee 9,000 kids.
We've scaled up to meet the challenge, but we had an awful lot of people that we had to catch up in short order back in 2015 and 2016.
They did acknowledge in their interviews with us for this story that the rules put into place in 2015 have been a challenge for them. They originally had to hire more staff, but there's still a lot of paperwork involved in processing all of these applications for all of their volunteers and making sure that those applications are properly handled, maintained, and filed in the right place.
By and large, my sense would be if we found organizations that aren't compliant, that it's likely more a matter of confusion and that the statute itself is a little complex and conflicting, that people may not know exactly all the things they're supposed to be doing.
Do we know if anybody was abused in connection to not having the proper clearance?
Not that we know of. There are no known cases of child sexual abuse in connection with that violation there. But in a larger scale, the Boy Scouts are facing lawsuits and accusations from victims all across the country who have come forward and alleging that they were sexually abused as boys by Boy Scout of America leaders. So this has been a sensitive topic within the organization.
What are you supposed to do if you find out somebody working with your kid doesn't have the proper clearance on file?
In pretty much every instance that we found and that we noted in the story, the Department of Human Services, when they received a complaint, they referred the people elsewhere. So they said, among other things, aside from directly addressing it with their organization, they could contact the organization's insurance carrier, or they could report the organization to their local district attorney's office.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that who's in charge of enforcing the DA?
Ultimately, yes, because under the law, it is a third-degree misdemeanor as an employer not to have these clearances on file for all of your employees and all of your volunteers. But there are limitations even there. We talked to the York County District Attorney, who said it's an issue, it's 100% an issue, and that he thinks that there needs to be a clearer system in place to report noncompliance. But other DAs I spoke to with the story said the way the law is written makes it a very difficult crime to prosecute because the failure to get clearances has to be intentional, which is very difficult to prove. And we actually see that playing out in the numbers, right? We checked and we found that since the law went into place in 2015, not a single person has been prosecuted for this type of crime. And in the scheme of larger laws that went into place in 2015, some DA's offices say that it's a matter of time and resources. And when you have a limited amount of both, complaints about clearances just don't rise to the top of your list of priorities to investigate and prosecute.
Mm-hmm. So, Angela, this law is intended to protect children from predators, but it's been 5 years since this law was enacted, and nobody's been prosecuted. Nobody is making sure these organizations have clearances on file in the first place. Do you think the law is working?
Well, it seems to me that if you really want this law to have teeth on background checks, you have to dedicate time, money, and resources to making sure that people are complying. And that requires hiring a lot of people and making sure those people are following up with the groups that provide these programs. I'm not even sure at this point that anybody has a master list in Pennsylvania of the number of groups and who they are that provide services to children. So you start there. When I was talking to Kathy Palm, she said that oftentimes the legislature implements a law like the one on clearances that makes a very big splash without really having a plan in place to measure or ensure its effectiveness.
We're good at the kind of like big and bold.
we're not as good at the consistent year-to-year checking up on how those laws and the practices of protecting children are really happening.
But if you want background checks to be effective, you really have to dedicate the time and resources to it.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for coming in again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That was Spotlight PA reporter Angela Columbus. She co-reported this story with Logan Hollinger, a reporter for the York Dispatch. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Monday.